Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, dreamers, to Katie Keencast. If you're dreaming with us, then you're riding with us. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin, living that colander dream.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about Katie Keen Chapter 8. It's all right, Ma. I'm only bleeding. Don't worry about it. This is the latest episode of Katie Keen. Big stuff happening on this episode. Exciting stuff happening on this episode. And birthday parties happening on this episode. So lots and lots to talk about. Should we do a little bit of a recap before we get into it? What do you fellas think?
I think it's a good idea, especially since the events of last episode led very directly into the beginning of this episode.
Well, let's start with that. Jorge as Ginger Lopez was coming out of a triumphant drag performance of Kiss of a Spider Woman with her girlfriend, Bernardo. Does he have a last name?
Bernie? Bernie the Fireman. I think his last name is The Fireman.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Bro, but I wasn't totally sure about that.
Yeah, but Bernie Bro? Possible.
Yeah, Bernie Bro. But so Bernie Bro and Jorge were kissing on the street. Some thugs approached them and beat them up. Now, this is tying into an overall arc with Jorge, where Jorge's mom knows that he is performing drag as Ginger Lopez. His dad kind of does and is not quite into it, as he found out the last episode, doesn't quite understand it. It took a while for his dad to be accepting of his homosexuality, and this, at least in Jorge's concern, seems to be a step too far. So that is what we're dealing with pretty heavily with him this episode. He also previously was dating a stockbroker type guy named Buzz Brown. Jorge, very into dudes that have names starting with B's.
He's a lawyer. Buzz Brown is Buzz Brown Esquire.
Oh, okay. You know what? I was mistaking him for some other TV show where there was a similar arc, and I don't remember what it is. Well, but
you're mistaken somebody named Buzz Brown for another character.
No, there was some other TV show where there was a dude hooking up with a stockbroker, wanted to go out together, but the stockbroker didn't want to go out with him. I don't remember what it was.
You watch really too much TV. Matter.
Yeah, I do watch too much TV.
That's all we have anymore.
It was Battlestar Galactica. That's what I'm thinking.
That's it.
All right. Couple of other things to talk about, or rather other people. There's Josie McCoy. Josie McCoy has been recording her album, her EP, with a guy named Alex Cabot, who is her boyfriend slash manager. Alex Cabot, back in the day, dated a woman named Zandra Cabot. At least that probably wasn't one of their names before that. But Zandra is now his stepsister and very, I don't know. I mean,
great. No, you're 100% right.
He's dating his stepsister. It's super weird.
Well, he was. Yeah, he dated her. Then their parents got married. She still holds a little bit of a torch for him, but has been intimating that she may be dating Katie Keene's ex-boyfriend, K.O. Kelly, a boxer, which we get a lot more into this episode, which is pretty exciting. And what else is with Josie? That's pretty much it. She's singing some stuff. She's working at a place called Chubby's. She used to live in a town called Riverdale. And there's one other thing that we'll get to in a little bit, but let's hold off on mentioning it. Let's move on to Pepper. Pepper is a scammer. She is a con artist. She learned from the best of the best, who's Miss Frisia. Wow, you guys. We're recording here on video on Crowdcast and YouTube. I hesitated. I was going to wear my farm shirt. We would have been twinners. Justin, you're wearing your Betty, your classic love triangle shirt. Pete, what shirt are you wearing? What's going on?
I'm just wearing a Rambo rabbit.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were wearing an Archie comic shirt.
When you held it up, it felt like it was relevant, but you were just showing it off in general.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember sometimes which podcast we...
Oh, I was just going to say, I don't know which podcast we established this on, but my dresser is right here. So I could find the farm
You got direct sock access.
Yeah, yeah, you can have all the socks.
I don't know where it is. I don't know where my farm shirt is. I'm sorry, guys.
See, as we go on in this time where we're not allowed to really see each other and other people, we're slowly being like, look, clothes. Look at this. This is my personality.
This is my personality. I put on a shirt for this.
Hey, so that's how I'm actually wearing pants this time. I'm feeling like I dressed up for this.
Oh, nice. Well, do you know who wears the pants on Katie Keene is Pepper Smith. And she is, as mentioned, she's a scammer. She is building a multi-use art space called the Pepper Plant, along with her scammer in training, Dee Dee. And she learned for the best of the best, who is Mrs. Freesia, played by Bernadette Peters herself.
Bernadette!
Very exciting.
Did you guys heard her name on the show, did anybody else, like, freak out? Like, I was like, did they just say Frieza from Dragon Ball Z? I had a little moment there. I just was wondering if I was the only one.
You can tell by my stunned, confused expression that, yes, of course, that's exactly what I thought, Pete.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
Ballsy. Yeah. Dragon Ballsy.
Still, I hope this doesn't come off as an insult. That's still the best joke you've ever made, Justin.
Thank you. It is both an insult and a compliment that I'll take heartily.
Yes. So that's what's going on with Pepper. Again, there's one more detail that we're going to hold until the end of the episode when it comes up.
Hold it.
It's kind of important. Hold it. But let's move on to Katie Keene. As mentioned, Katie Keene was dating K.O. Kelly. K.O. Kelly is now, I think we can jump ahead and say this, now officially dating Xandra Cabot.
Official.
She's working as her bodyguard. As we know from the movie The Bodyguard, there is no way of keeping that stuff above the level.
Every bodyguard dates their person, the body that they're guarding. It's 100%. The Secret Service members always date the presidents. It's just the way it is.
Exactly.
Just ask
them. You got to know the body you're guarding. It's just, that's just how it
works. I can't guard the body unless you know the body. You got to know every inch. You got to know every inch of it.
From the socks to the top hat. That's what I always say.
That's what you always say, because that's what you think human bodies are. That's as nude as you get, is socks and a top hat. Socks and a top hat. No, that's keep Alex.
keep the top hat on. We're talking about Katie. Katie also has had a number of other romantic flirtations. We don't totally deal with it this episode, but she ended up sleeping with a prince named Errol Swoon, who is engaged to be married. She got a bit embroiled in that. She has also cooked up a flirtation, I think, with Satan. I think that's fair to say. Guy LaMontagne. Guy LaMontagne is a famous fashion designer who... He has a installation on Lacey's, on the 8th floor of Lacey's, I think, where
he's got the whole floor.
Yeah, got a whole floor going on there. And he recently kind of promised Katie an apprenticeship, which she was very excited about because she is an aspiring fashion designer. So those are probably the big things that you need to know.
She's going to take on another job.
Well, I think it's all kind of part of the same job, right?
It's all working at Lacey's. If they have a real free-flowing policy when it comes to what department you work at on Lacey's.
Yeah, apparently.
Which is pretty crazy.
Well, if you've ever been to Macy's, it's like that. You can't get somebody to, like, get you a wallet or a watch or whatever. Like, come on, serve me here. Come on. Where is everybody? What is this, a pandemic lockdown? I had to break the door to get in here. Come on. Yeah. I'm stealing stuff here.
Did you break into Macy's today?
I'm looting Macy's here.
Alex is looting the high-end department stores first, then working his way down to regular businesses.
Yeah, smart. Yeah. Smart.
Fifth Avenue is my playground right now.
Yeah, one-man loot train. Alex always said he could shoot a store on Fifth Avenue and no one would blink an eye.
Yeah. speaking of which, let's... get into it. Not speaking of which at all. Let's get into it. Let's get into the episode. Justin, you want to walk us through this one or you need some more wine chill out?
Yeah,
time?
You would need happening? A wine no. break or you all right?
No, get me in. This is my job now and I'm going to punch in right now and really work my ass off for the next 40 minutes.
Excellent. And then you're done.
And then I'm done. Then I'm clocking out for the week.
Yeah.
If this podcast goes an hour, last 10 minutes are going to be utter shit.
I hate to break it to you, but we have another show tomorrow, so you can't just punch out for the week.
No, but I really take a back seat and just sort of float for the show. Okay.
That's true. We established, if you're listening, if you don't listen to our other shows, we do a live show called Comic Book Club. Justin's job has always been the floater.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And again, it was always a compliment and never an insult. Yeah. Let's jump into the episode. We pick up right where we left off, where Jorge and Bernie were on the street and they got beat up. And we come in on Jorge's family, all rallying around them. We didn't see the fight, which I thought was sort of nice.
Yes, I'm glad we didn't see the fight. I would have liked to see a little more of what was going on with Bernardo. I feel like we only really touched on him this episode, and I thought all the stuff with Jorge was great. I love the emotional arc of Jorge. I understand that this is like a fairy tale of New York, so we're not going to go super hard and deep on this sort of thing. But at the same time, like, what did that do to him? You know, we hear that in the fight, he got knocked down and then got back up again. He had a whiskey drink. Mm-hmm. He had a lager drink. He had a cider drink.
Yeah.
He sang a song that reminded him of the good times, and he sang a song that reminded him of the bad. I was done. That was literally the last thing that I was going to say.
Huge missed opportunity for a musical number. A Chumbawamba drop-in.
Nobody wants a Chumbawamba musical.
But seriously, I did want to know a little bit more of what was going on with Bernardo.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he seemed sort of unfazed by the whole thing. He was just like, yeah, those assholes did that. Let's go get them, kind of a thing.
Yes. Pete, were you excited about Jorge's brother?
Oh, you mean from what you call it, from Lucifer?
No, what? Wait, one of his brothers was from Lucifer?
Yeah, the actor who was in the Lucifer TV show that I love.
I know you love the TV show Lucifer, but maybe we're thinking of different people. I wrote this down, and actually one of the comments over on YouTube, Aris910 says, I know Pete and I were happy to see Prometheus from Arrow.
Yeah, from Arrow, yeah.
Wait, did you know him from...
he was also in Arrow where he played a fucking douchey... like a villain who blows up the island. And yeah, it was just a bunch of people almost died.
The island?
Yeah. The island that Arrow was trapped on for all those times.
Yeah,
and then had to keep
do that.
Going back to.
He was Adrian Chase on Arrow. I wrote this down just to be sure, but like it's John Segarra. He played Mateo Lopez. He was Adrian Chase, a.k.a. Prometheus on Arrow. It's just weird that you constantly want us to talk about Arrow all the time. And this time you're like, yeah, the actor from Lucifer.
Well, maybe if I throw you a curveball, we'll accidentally talk about Arrow for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Instead of playing
into your trap,
maybe I try to talk
about how he played Detective Douche on Lucifer, which is also a great show.
Character name, Detective Douche?
Well, that's what Lucifer called him.
That's great.
Very cool.
I got to check that out on Netflix.
Great curveball, guys. That's what we call arguments in our household.
According to the comments over here, Pete won that one. That's great. We should definitely have
it. I'll tell you what, as an outside observer, it was real wobbly. I honestly think no one won.
Do you know who I think most lost is the listeners to our podcast?
That's 100% correct. Ding, ding, ding.
Well, I will say, though, the reason that it jumped out to me is like he has done much more the guest turns on a lot of shows. So it feels like he's a character that's probably going to come back. We're probably going to see more of Mateo.
Yes, I agree. And Mateo was the one who's the police officer.
Yes.
And because we see him at the end of the episode hanging out with
the parade.
Bernie at the protest. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he seems like he's having fun.
Yeah, he's just having a good time. Different from how he was on Arrow and Lucifer, you say, Pete?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah,
you know,
that
cops
sounds like
love a good protest. They have so much fun at them.
That's definitely, especially NYPD officers are known for their love of protests.
Also, it's nice to see firefighters and cops getting along so well in this episode.
Famously rivals. Yeah. New York's boldest and New York's finest. So let's keep going to the episode. KO is at Jorge's house, rallying with the family.
He is family, as a lot of people keep pointing out.
And what we get at the top of this episode is Katie talking a lot about how much of a family she is with Jorge, but also Keo, because they've known each other since they were teenagers. And in the midst of Jorge being like hurt and sort of like reeling from this, he's still helping Katie like, hey, go talk to Keo and work out this relationship thing.
Yeah.
Because no one really says it, but it does feel like all of the core group of friends, Katie's friends, want her to be with Keo.
That's right.
Because that's all like Keo. He's great.
He's a decent dude who cares about Katie. So yeah.
I think so. I think they know, like viewers of the show, that they're going to work it out eventually. You know, Katie's going to go through all of these boyfriends. Keo is going to date Zandra. Then they're going to grow up and they're going to figure it out.
Alex, you don't know that because KO's moved on pretty staunchly, and he's now famous for being in his underwear. So it's going to be hard
to come back. He's famous for being in his underwear and
he's basically Mark
Wahlberg.
He's Mark Wahlberg.
He's the next
leader of
the
Funky Bunch. He's got a burger chain. He starred in one Transformers movie.
Exactly, and he might have been able to stop 9/11, according to what he said. And that's what KO's going to do, too. That's KO's arc as well. Yeah.
Oh my God. That would be great. Next episode, he goes back in time, and he's like, I got some ideas.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you just casually dropped that.
That Mark Wahlberg casually dropped that. I'm repeating something that he said.
Okay.
Right. All right. Yeah, and I'm riffing off of it, which is also okay.
Yeah. Nope, I don't know if that's all right.
You can't spell KO without OK. So Katie and Katie goes to KO and is like, hey, let's at least be friends. They're going to have
lunch. Yeah, let's have lunch.
Let's have lunch. Nothing wrong with that.
And I thought that was very cool because this is the first time in the history of television or movies somebody has explored the question of whether men and women could be friends. And I would love to find out the answer.
Yeah.
Tell you what, this was the first seed drop that like, oh, I don't know if this is going to, Katie wants to get back together here.
Mm-hmm. And throughout this episode, Katie keeps slipping how hot KO is and how much she misses and wants him and is attracted to him.
It's like she's never seen him with his clothes off. And that's what the episode is, the subplot.
Well, we were talking about the rebound hookup that she had with Prince Errol Swoon, and we were fighting about that quite a bit. We were fighting on that quite a bit, and I think part of the argument was the reason you have the rebound is so you can move on emotionally in your life. And I do think that's kind of what she did, was she moved on to a different level of being attracted to and interested in KO. Like, granted, it's rebounding to the same guy, but at the same time, like, she needed that thing in the middle to get over her heartache, to be into, like, oh, okay, maybe I'm going to appreciate this guy on a more adult level and less of a fairy tale level.
Right. And then she saw him in his underwear, and it all went to shit.
But I would argue that the prince wasn't much of a rebound because it was just super stressful for her in every way.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even... it wasn't even a thing where she was like, I can finally get away from my relationship, because she was wound up the entire time.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that Prince thing cost her her job, and that's why she needed this mentorship.
No, it didn't cost her her job. In fact, she's anything, pretty sure. Her, like, pretty basically sure. A promotion.
Nah, yeah. I don't know.
She works on every different floor in Lacey's.
Yeah.
She has, how many floors do you think they have? Probably 8 total, so she has 8 jobs?
Exactly. Yeah. She's a killer barista. Sort of capping this scene at Jorge's place is he comes clean with his dad about Ginger, and dad is not happy. It goes about as poorly as it possibly could for the whole situation, which then runs through the whole episode as Jorge denies it, but he refuses to dress up as Ginger for most of this episode.
Yeah.
Right.
And
agreed.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps coming up throughout the episode where it's kind of like, hey, what about your one-man show? What about this? And what about that? And it comes to a big head at the end there, and he stands proud and tall. So it was pretty powerful and amazing, but along the way it was pretty painful.
Yeah, I just remember the thing with the stockbroker was from High Fidelity, the Hulu series. There was an episode there, which is excellent, by the way, and you should check it out. But I think it was also a lawyer. So
is that why you've been mentally checked out for the last 10 minutes? You've just been thinking about different shows?
Yeah. Alex, no, you're so checked out. You're so checked out, you let Pete almost win an argument with you.
honestly, it's one of those things where I started thinking about it, and it was the scenes from High Fidelity were scratching at my brain and trying to get through, and I was just trying to put together the pieces. Till it just happened. Now I'm fully here, very excited until the last 10 minutes of the podcast, at which point it's all going to go to shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great that all of our lives now are just spinning around with different TV shows in our head. Of like, wait, what's that from? Is that Westworld or is that from? Definitely Tiger King. Easy to mix up Westworld and Tiger King.
Oh, man.
Lot of robots in both shows. The tigers are robots and the humans are real.
Yeah, they did have the Raj last season on Westworld, so it's kind of similar.
Yeah. So let's talk about Josie.
I like to call her, Josie Exotic. Are we still doing that?
Wow.
Wow. That's good. Okay. That's good. A lot of connections between those two characters. Josie and the Pussycats. You're right, Pete. Pete wins again. That's 2 points for Pete. Alex, -2. Losing points.
This is great. I really wish we hadn't decided to assign points in this podcast, but I'll roll with it.
Well, that's the way life is now. How else do we keep score societally if not for randomly assigned points from a psychopath like me?
Yeah.
So I find Josie to be very demanding of Alex. Alex is trying hard. And in this episode, she's like, hey, where's my, how come I'm not famous yet? Is like
demanding. This dude has been like, he's all over the place. He's drunk. And then he's like, oh, I got you the show, but now it's not a show. And then he's like going behind her back and deleting videos that she is in. And then giving him the whole, like, I'll make you a star. It's okay if I don't let you do the things that you want to do because I'm controlling you because I'm going to make you a star. I don't know, man. I don't know about that.
I do think it feels sort of like both things are going on, that you have Alex is not doing a great job of being honest to Josie at any point for various reasons. But also, Josie is doing the thing. I mean, certainly I did this in my 20s, and I'm sure you guys did as well, where like you just do a bunch of random shit, and some of the stuff is like the wrong thing to do for your career at certain points. And you don't like realize you enough time. Improv. What?
When you try to
Wait, did you say what I tried to do improv, Pete?
Yeah, that's right.
This is going to get nasty.
Jesus. Pete's been cooped up all day like one of those tigers on Joe Exotic Zoo.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm like that chimpanzee bit that like almost makes you cry on the episode.
Tell you what, I haven't watched it yet, but I'm free to make jokes anyway. What are you doing right now, Pete?
Watch the show and you'll get it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. But this is an audio podcast still, even though we're doing a video.
People on YouTube get me.
That was a great chimpanzee impression you just did.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I always thought you were going to throw your excrement at me. It still might happen.
You know what? I hate to say it, but that made me completely lose my train of thought. So another point to Pete.
Wow. Point to Pete. Negative points for Alex.
Killing it.
-3.
No, you were talking about how you were a sloppy bitch when you first got to the city and you didn't know what to do.
So the thing that, like, I think we can get into it is that Alex isn't pushing her career far enough. She ends up not hooking up, but hooking up with Raj, the director who has been working with Pepper and kind of hooking up with Pepper and makes a music video with her. And I feel like that's exactly the sort of thing that I do all the time. Like, oh yeah, we got to do this thing. This is going to be so huge. This is going to be so big. And then you do it and either it flops or people are like, I don't know. That's not good. But you make those mistakes. I mean, there's a very obvious point, but like you make those mistakes, so you learn, oh, I shouldn't have done it that way. I should have done it this way, or I should have put forward. And I think the thing that's actually hampering Josie at this point is Alex's general mismanagement of her. He's not completely wrong, but the way he's going about it does feel wrong.
Also, he doesn't trust her because of this contract. And because of this contract, he took away the Apollo gig. And, like, I didn't like this part at all. He's like, oh, well, you have a contract with my dad. She's doing that for you, jackass. She doesn't need to be here and put up with your family bullshit. She's doing that because she likes you. And then, like, he's like, yeah, well, I don't know. So I took away the Apollo gig. And, yeah, like, I
Pete, do you think she should have instead gone for the standard rich and famous contract?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I just think on the other side of it, I feel like he walks in the store and she's like, how come I'm not famous yet? And I think that's just like, that's not easy to just be famous.
Yeah. Does that feel like, I mean, I'm not involved in the music world, but that kind of does feel like a very LA way of doing things and B, a very Whoa. Music world way of doing things where you basically like you sell yourself by pumping yourself up as much as possible, that you're like, I'm the best. I'm going to be famous. You got to get on board right now. And then people are like, oh, this person's the best. They're going to be famous. I got to get on board right now. That's a strategy. And I don't know necessarily that's what Josie is doing, but I do think, again, that's a thing that people do.
I do think that's something people do just in general in their lives, but it's weird to do it in a one-on-one relationship with your boyfriend slash manager.
Yeah.
You don't need to pump yourself up in front of him.
You don't do that with your significant other?
Yeah, I'm a big deal.
Every morning when they wake up, you just get up at their face and you're like, I'm the best. Oh, big deal.
I just think it's weird the way he's acting towards her, and then the fact that, like, he's like, oh, yeah, like, this isn't a normal thing. Well, like, you have a contract with my dad about our specific relationship, so I'm going to offer you gigs and then take them away just because of how I feel. It doesn't feel professional, and she should have had a show yet if he is going to be a manager of some kind to, like, try to get her music out there. So far, he's done absolutely nothing except make out with her a bunch.
Yeah. Well, that's something.
It's something.
Okay.
That's what I do the rest of the week. It's my punch in, punch out job. It's just making out. Should we follow Josie's track a little bit here? Hers is pretty simple.
Sure.
We get to see a little bit of her black and white music video. What did you guys think? Very cool.
Yeah. I kept going back and forth. Like, I wanted to see the full video, and I was very excited to see the full video. I was hoping they were going to post it online. Clearly, they didn't actually make one, which is a bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Josie, of course, amazing. I mean, Ashley Barry is just, her voice is phenomenal. The video was very, like, exactly what you'd expect from Raj, the Tisch student who films The Rodfather Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Where he's like, we're going to make it black and white, and you're just going to be on a bridge. There's going to be a bridge of the
black and white.
Raw.
And then we get to see it uploaded to the internet, which is a very cool choice. That's a great, that's honestly what we should do with this podcast.
Oh, yeah. We should stop doing it just to our walls.
Yeah. It's about time we pressed record on these mics and uploaded it to the internet.
Who would listen, though, guys?
That's not how it works. You don't press record on the mics. But we'll talk about that stuff later. I will say...
I've been pressing record on this mic the whole time.
That did remind me, though, of one of my favorite New York overheard conversations. And I'm forgetting exactly what happened. But it was... not at the dawn of YouTube, I would say. It was like easily like five, at least 10 years into YouTube has been around. And the reason I say that is because I was sitting down off Union Square. I was outside at a table having lunch, just very leisurely lunch. And these two women sat down.
Here we go, another big brag.
One of them.
Union Square.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to brag. I had lunch once.
Wow. You were one of those chess guys at Union Square, right?
I was just pigeon shit all over me and everything. It's great. Oh. No, so there were two ladies who sat down and they were like, so, all right, I have this idea to make a YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
First
step. Hold on. Let me write this down.
Yeah. First step. How do you get a video on YouTube? And the other lady was like, oh, that's a really good question. Well, I was doing some reading about it, and the conversation went on for like half an hour where they're just figuring out how to put together a YouTube video, to the point where the person that I was having lunch with and I, we were sitting there, we were like, this is the only thing we're listening to. We can't listen to anything else. And I don't know if they ever figured it out, but those ladies turned out to be named Smosh. So there you go.
Nice. I don't get that reference, but I'm sure it's very
I was wondering if it would pay off at the end.
I panicked at the end. I realized I needed to make a reference, and I couldn't think of anything. And that lady was named Lily Singh.
There you go.
Is that better?
That makes sense.
All right. I'll delete the previous reference and just
slotted it.
But how did you sit there and not
that lady was named Baby Shark.
See? Now that's famous right there.
Yeah, wow. There we go.
They worked on it for 10 years.
Wasn't it driving you crazy to hear them talk? Like, I'm surprised you didn't, like, run over that. Are you fucking kidding me? Do you?
I'm pretty sure I was with the woman who is now currently my wife, and she...
Currently?
I kept being currently.
Yeah, how many wives?
We'll okay.
We have a lot of adults in this situation.
Quarantine not going so hot over at the Zalvin house.
Listen, I don't want to point any fingers, but somebody keeps waking up, pointing at her face and saying, I'm amazing every morning.
Wow.
Just pissing her off. But I do remember from that conversation being like, I got to go over and tell them. I got to tell them how to just like upload it. Please just let me stand up. And she kept stopping me. But rightly so.
She's a good woman. You proposed right there.
Yeah, you should have taken the knee right there.
I did.
There.
I got down on one knee and said, make me a YouTube video.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, we get to see a great way. We get to see this video uploaded to the internet.
Wait, wait. Justin, aren't you going to tell us an amazing lunch story about New York?
Oh, yeah. Let's go around and do lunch stories.
Good lunch stories? Let's see.
I was kidding.
I don't have a great lunch story involving YouTube.
I did.
Yeah, that was exactly not a real stem twirler like that one. But why, Pete, you got a lunch story you want to tell?
You found
a human tooth in your Subway sandwich once, right?
It was mine. That was the crazy part. I was like, I lost
the ending.
This last week when I was here. And now it's in my meatball sub.
Wow.
All your teeth came out.
You lost a tooth and it came back to you? Like a boomerang?
Yeah, the next week, yeah.
You got a boomerang tooth.
That's the plot, actually, of Eddie Murphy's Boomerang.
Yeah. It's true. And Pete, you still get royalties on that, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's the thing about, you know, if you love a tooth, you let it go. And if it comes back to you, that was your tooth all along.
That's good stuff. Got him. Wow, you got him. Again, that's another point for Pete. He broke Alex.
No. Oh,
you're
man.
Losing points, dude. If you love a tooth, set it free. I got a lot of relatives upstate that are doing that.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. I'm signing off for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You watch the TV shows and just kind of check out mentally.
Then we find Josie later in the episode. Josie's mad at Katie for inviting Xandra to this party for a thing we'll talk about later. But again, I just want to say Josie felt very just like yelling at everyone this whole episode. Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I felt like Josie was just trying to stick up for herself because she's in a fucked up relationship with a fucked up family where brothers and sisters are dating. And
I think Alex
up.
Has been nice.
Do you?
I mean, he fucks up a lot, obviously.
Yeah.
He's losing points constantly.
Yeah, and he dangles
Wait, what
Apollo
what
and
Alex,
takes it away.
What Alex are we talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good point.
I think he is genuinely trying with her, both in the relationship side and trying to get her career off the ground. And I just think, and I'm sure it's frustrating to be apologized to for 7 episodes in a row. But it felt like this episode, Josie was really like, I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she sort of has a Charlie Brown with the football arc, right? Like,
yeah.
They just keep being like, this is it. You're going to the Apollo. Just kidding. You're getting an EP. Just kidding. All of this stuff is like tied up with their family bullshit. So it just makes it all the worse because it is out of her control. And the one time she tries to do something in her control, which is make this music video, she uploads it and it immediately gets deleted from the internet. So you have to think about, like, Raj was probably shooting with her for upwards of 5 to 10 minutes. That was probably
totally.
The time he needed to get the footage. And that's a lot of time in her schedule. So there you go.
Yeah. And you know, he had like all of his friends PAing. There was a very intense sex scene that they didn't end up including in the video.
Because it was
Craft
artistic.
Services was one artistic. Bag of Hers salt and vinegar chips.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Ooh, Hers. Very good, ref.
Yeah. Sick ref, bro.
So to keep following Josie's track, the video gets deleted. She's pissed. She thinks it's Xandra. At the end of the episode, we find out that it was, in fact, Alex who deleted the video because he's
Classic
trying to...
Alex.
And I did sort of agree with this. He's like, hey, why are you going to make a cheap music video? I think you're better than that. Like, give me a chance to do this.
But you said it in such a creepy way that was like...
You just don't like him, Pete. So I don't think... I think he's just talking normally.
Okay. Yeah. All right, man. Okay. I mean, that's fair, but I don't know, man. You could have said that better. You could have said that in a nicer way that wasn't like, you know, Josie's doing a lot here, and she's just trying to... If you're not going to put herself out there, she's going to do it. And, you know, she doesn't have the money he has, you know?
Yeah.
I'll mention there's a comment over on YouTube. Aris910 says, yeah, somehow this episode made me like Xander quite a bit. Still hate Xander, though. Scumbag.
I agree. Yes. It made me like Xander more this episode because of the heart-to-heart later.
Yeah, yep. The heart-to-heart in the bathroom. Was that creepy for you? Because, like, when I... It was like she stormed off, and then Katie was like waiting for her in the bathroom. I was like, "How did she get there so fast?"
I mean, there's two doors in every bathroom, as the expression goes.
Oh, right, right,
that'll... right. Well, I mean, to that point, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, but I think we could talk about Xandra and what was going on with her. She's growing tremendously as a character over the past couple of episodes, I think. Do you agree, Pete?
I do. And what's, I almost don't trust it, but I would love if that bathroom chat was real. I was a little worried she was just going to be like, nah, I'm just messing with you. Because that was a big reveal, that talk they had in the bathroom. And that was a big change of heart on her part to open up to her like that and to actually like compliment her.
It's hard to trust her. I agree. But I mean, I don't know. It felt... For the purpose of this episode, it definitely felt real.
Yeah.
All right, well,
and I do think, I mean, not to compare the two shows, but where Riverdale sometimes feels like it varies episode to episode, at least this far, there's a lot of consistency in terms of the character, or the character arcs over Katie Keene. So I do think, unless there is some twist or turn where she's playing everybody, I do think there's some actual character growth going on there, which I think is great.
Well, first off, how dare you make fun of the character arcs in Riverdale? Secondly,
I'm not making fun of them. I love it.
It seems like that was a little cheap shot.
No, secondly, I wouldn't call them. They're not even arcs. So like the heart monitor beeps of just like beep, 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 beep.
Just
that's how fast my heart goes, by the way.
You got to get that looked at.
Yeah, I'm healthy.
I'm healthy as you're chugging wine. I think that the real thing is, do you think the spill on the dress was an accident?
Ooh, well, we're definitely jumping ahead of here. Do we want to jump back? And now that we've talked about Josie's arc,
let's just finish Josie with
sure.
She's mad at Alex in sort of the once we get to the epilogue portion of the show, and Alex says like, "Hey, my dad wants to get Pussycats back together."
Well, he says, "I want to." Didn't you have a girl group? Like, we're going to do a little more something like that. What did you call them? And she says, "The Pussycats." I've watched the episode twice now, and every time Ashley Murray's expression there, the way that just her eyes well up and they get glistening when she says the Pussycats, lovely. Love it.
And do you think it's, yeah, is it going to be the Pussycats?
Is it the actual Pussycats, or is it just random?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think this is what I think is going to happen, because again, with that Charlie Brown thing, like I would love to see Valerie and Melody back. I think everybody wants to see Valerie and Melody back, but... My suspicion is that Alex is going to give her two girls that are going to change her whole vibe and be like, want her to be more of a dance girl group type thing versus
more of like
Josie
misfits, more of misfits rather than holograms.
Yes, exactly. I think you're right though. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think, I don't know, we'll see where it goes from there, but I'm curious to see how people are going to react if that happens, because what I saw on the timeline, at least when while the episode was airing, was like there was a lot of the Pussycats. Okay.
Yeah.
So if they don't bring back Melody and Valentine, I think people are. Melody and
Val.
Val. Oh, yeah. I think people are going to be bummed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I agree. Plus, maybe they could bring back
Veronica. Could jump in.
I was just gonna say it could be Veronica and Archie, the backup Pussycats.
Well, we should mention also, just because this was a Josie line, she does say Archie and I keep in touch, but he's all the way in Riverdale. Says that midway through the episode, which lets us know that 5-ish years down the road, Archie not dead.
not dead.
Huge and surprising.
My man, going strong. Yeah. But who knows? He's probably like a professional pole vaulter, or he's a astronaut, a Riverdale
he's
astronaut.
He's a personal trainer is probably what he's going to be.
Wow. How dare you?
She does say he's all the way in Riverdale, which might mean he's actually in the bedrock of Riverdale, potentially.
Whoa. Yeah, that's true. You mean dead? Yeah.
Well, dead or fighting his way through caves of mold people or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, the plot's wide open.
So
jumping back to the top of the episode, you want to get into some Pepper now?
Yeah, let's talk Pepper. Pep it up.
Pepper and Bernadette Peters, Miss Freesia, Miss Freesia and the doorman come to visit, and we see the doorman is giving her a nice little birthday treat, and Miss Freesia is clearly like her con mentor.
Mm-hmm. Mentor.
Trying to go legit, guys.
And I think Pepper has grown up in this moment. It feels like she's like, I'm not going to do the old birthday scam that we usually do.
So what was the birthday scam exactly? Because I feel like we don't exactly find out what the birthday scam is.
We all know what the birthday scam is.
No, I do
you
not
go
know
go into Applebee's and it's somebody's birthday. And then they sing, you bring out the cake and we get free cake out of it.
I don't know if that's this level of conning that they're talking about here, Pete. I know that's sort of the level of conning you're comfortable with. You're always running the old birthday scam, aren't
you?
Hey,
man, there's nothing better than a birthday scam.
Happy birthday.
Pete was actually trained by a giant mouse named Miss Cheesa, who taught him everything that he knew.
Nice.
Wow.
You like that, Pete?
Chucky Cheesa?
Chucky Cheesa, yes.
There we go, yeah.
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
Yes, definitely. That's clear. Alex, you just lost another point.
oh, no. What?
Sorry, and you know what happens? If you get too far, you lose your slot on the podcast, and we call up one of the reserves.
Oh, man.
I got an email from two women who are starting a YouTube video, and they want to sort of make their mark on podcasts.
Oh, that sounds very cool. I'd love to know how they do it.
Yeah.
I know. I wish. They're trying to get revenge on you for not helping them in their Union Square lunch.
Yeah. They did keep looking back at me and going, woo-woo-woo-woo-woo, just with like a cute little expression on their faces.
Was that?
I said
the,
no.
Later they started Broad City. Is that who it was?
Wow. That's the reference that we needed earlier.
Jesus, Pete, you're on
Pete
fire today.
Pete wins again.
Oh, God, Pete, I don't know how you're doing it, being in quarantine, taking care of all those kids like me and Justin.
Yeah.
Yet you're still
That's
fresh as a daisy here at the end
Alex,
of the day.
Alex, quarantine is making us weaker, but it's giving Pete strength. It's like that episode of Seinfeld where George did the opposite of everything he'd done before, and he becomes powerful.
Oh, man. Wow, Pete's Pete is staying in his place and probably eating lots of salads, I guess, or something.
Oh, yeah, you're eating a bunch of salads, right, Pete? That's what Philadelphia is famous for, is there. Exactly. Philadelphia salad steaks, right? Yeah.
Philadelphia, come here. It's a light lunch.
Yeah.
It's a light lunch.
It's a light lunch.
The city of light lunches. Light lunch love, they say. We're talking Pepper. So Pepper... It feels like she is trying to move past her past life. The birthday scam was something that her and Miss Freesia would try to run someone, get a bunch of money from that person. And Pepper's like, let's not do that. I still like respect you, but that's not my thing right now. I'm trying to go legit and open up this space.
And her friend doesn't respect her wishes at all.
And the businessman we met before in a previous episode, who now it turns out has been in rehab and jail, I think.
Chad. Yeah, Chad, he got busted for a lot of cocaine.
Yes, he did, which is fair. He shows up and he's the wealthy donor. I didn't realize this. His full name is Chad Gecko, which is pretty funny.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a
good
joke.
That's a Riverdale-style naming choice.
Yes, there's a lot of Riverdale-style names on this show, which I think is pretty cool. But yeah, he's going to help her out, and I like putting him in this episode. He brings a weird energy to every scene, which I enjoy.
It's literally a sobering energy. Like, everyone's, like, wound up about something, and he's like, I don't do that anymore. Or like, hey, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, I like the fact that he's hard to read and Pepper doesn't really, can't really read him well enough.
She can't scam him anymore. She's used to scamming him when he's like drunk, flying on coke. So he's paying attention. So she's like, ugh. I mean, this episode was about all of her plans, her schemes come falling apart and crashing together.
Yeah,
I want to talk about her second cupcake, man. That was a big reveal.
Her second cupcake, man. What are you talking about?
We'll get there.
She got a second cupcake.
From the doorman. We'll get there in a sec. A lot of the episode centers on this party that Pepper's having. Chad is there. Alex Cabot walks in, and they're former rivals. That sort of starts to turn the screw on Pepper's plans. Pepper ignores Miss Frisia, which bites her in the ass almost immediately. And then everyone's hanging around, and Miss Frisia shows up. And she
we should mention Xandra shows up and Chad does not like Xandra at all.
Yeah. Makes sense. All of the Pepper's machinations to have both Josie and Xandra star in the quote unquote Broadway show of Kiss of the Spider-Woman come together. Everything's getting revealed and she is definitely in the hot seat. She only escapes it by chance that another fight starts.
A pretty important detail that becomes a lot. Yeah, there's a pretty important detail that becomes clearer later on that is mentioned during that sequence when everybody's sitting around and having drinks. And Miss Frisia does come in despite Pepper not wanting to be there because Miss Frisia's like, I wouldn't miss a scam to save my life. So she sits down and everybody's like, oh, we didn't know about you. We didn't know about her aunt or anything like that. And Miss Frisia seems to be telling actually true stories about Pepper, specifically
that as a kid.
Well, I think they're true because, and this is jumping ahead to the end of the episode, but she tells a story saying, oh, she used to sit down in the lobby of my building doing her work and doing her coloring. It was so sad. So I'd bring her up to my apartment, and that's where we became friends, and I became her mentor, and that's clearly where she taught her scams and everything. But I think the reason is her dad is the doorman, so she was downstairs just doing whatever she was doing while her dad was working as the doorman and ultimately ended up spending all of her time with Miss Frisia instead, which brings into suspicion whether Pepper is actually English at all, which is something that comes up there where they say to Pepper, wait, I thought you grew up in London. And she's like, oh, well, a little bit here, a little bit in London. And I think we're going to get an accent drop at some point. I think that's going
to
happen.
I agree. I think at some point this season, she's going to have to drop all of her pretense. She gets away with it because of the Katie's plot, Katie, Xandra, the dress stuff. Mm-hmm. But she's definitely on the hook. Everyone is suspicious. Josie already confronted her a couple episodes back, and this is a much larger admission of her actual life. I was going to say the toast that Jorge does to Pepper and her bohemian family, I thought was nice and was genuine and spoke to sort of the underlying quality of her. So she's doesn't know how to function unless she's scamming someone.
Yeah. The thing that I think is nice about her arc, and I don't 100% know that they're going to go in this direction, but even if everything is revealed with her, it doesn't blow up her character. It just brings it to another level where you're going to get this huge emotional arc where everybody finds out that she's been lying to them about everything the entire time. And once they get past that, she now has this skill that could be used in the show where she knows how to set up schemes. She knows how to set up cons. So once they bring her back into the fold as a friend, that allows them to get into so many more adventures and mishaps and things and allows her to interact with the friend group in a very different way versus the way that she is right now, which is on the inside, but almost on the outside because there is that secret that separates her. So I'm excited to follow this. I think this is a good direction for the show to be going in.
Yeah. And so, and Pepper, I think, faces the most trouble of anyone in this episode where Chad, who's Pepper wants to invest, signs his check over to Miss Frisia, who has claimed to be her business partner. So she's in the hole and now beholden to Chad because of this money he's given. And she follows up, sees the doorman, who's revealed to be her dad, and find out that Miss Frisia
cupcake is delivered. And he was like, I want to find out your real birthday. And she's like, oh, dad. And I was like, oh, my God.
I thought that was weird. Like, how does she, her dad, not know her birthday if he's her dad?
I bet it's the sort of thing where, like, he hooked up with somebody, she got pregnant, and then 10 months later or so, because he doesn't know the exact birthday, just baby ends up being dropped with him. And then he's
that makes sense, actually, because then that's why he brings her birthday cupcakes on a series of days. So sort of like, oh, any of these could be your birthday, so let's just keep doing the cupcakes.
Yeah. So that's fun. Again, just a guess, but that seems to be the direction they're going in. And I like it. They're setting up so many different plot lines for everybody. It's fun.
Yeah.
Should we talk about, do we want to talk about Jorge some more, or did we...
Yeah, no, I think we should just touch on it, run it through a little bit here. We do see, so Jorge, he toasts, he has this party, the pepper throws, he does a nice toast. Before that, he's talking to the Molly's Crisis boss, who's just like very mean.
Yeah.
I was like, you run this like freewheeling bar and you're mean to Jorge?
Yeah.
I was like, this is unnecessary.
Yeah. Also, where did Francois go? Francois wasn't in this episode at all.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. That's why I was like, because with Katie's mentorship, like Francois was going to, is working with her in the window. Like, I think there's a lot of muddiness with that storyline of like what her actual job is, but whatever.
She's the Archie of the show.
Yeah. And I
feel
like
she can have as many jobs as she wants.
Jorge, though, to kind of get back on track, is going through a lot with her, the family stuff versus like what Jorge wants to actually be able to do. Go ahead, Justin.
Yeah. Well, and we get this nice meetup with Buzz, the lawyer, who wants to step up and help Jorge, which I thought was a cool thing to see sort of in the middle of the episode. And I think genuinely does make Jorge feel better without creating a bunch of drama with Bernie, which I thought was a smart choice for the show.
Yeah, me too. And the fact that like Buzz had some growth because of Jorge, but that doesn't mean drama for his relationship. Like Jorge just helped Buzz, be who he truly is. And, and so Buzz is like, hey, let me help you out, you know?
Yeah. Well, and to follow the dad's story, Jorge's dad begs him not to go out as Ginger. It's sort of a bad situation. You can tell Jorge doesn't want his dad to be feeling the way he does, but he's like, this is who I am. And that's sort of the journey we get. We see Jorge a couple times go out, just dressed as Jorge. And then at the end of the episode, he, shows up, he bumps into his dad, as Ginger Yeah. And we get, and he has sort of a "this is me" moment, I guess we'll see how that. It feels like that will continue to play out over the course of the show.
I felt very split about that moment, honestly, as a dad, and I kept going back.
Here we go.
No, but seriously, like I thought it was a very interestingly scripted moment because, of course, you feel for Jorge. He is your perspective character in that moment. And you're watching it and you're going, yes, you be you. You embrace what your truth is about yourself. You push forward. This is your art. And as we see in the next thing, Ginger is there. She is standing in front of everybody. She's glorious. Everybody loves it. And it's great. But also the way that they scripted the dad thing, again, I think was not this typical like, no, he touched on the you're bringing disgrace to your family type thing, but it wasn't exactly that. It was that he was scared for him.
Yeah.
And he was scared of what this will do to the family, of the hurt that it will bring, that I'm sure he's thinking people could come by and set fire to my bodega and your building. They could attack you. They could kill you. They could attack your brothers. And that's what he's scared about. And to me, that felt like a very true, very honest emotion as well, because as much as he clearly loves his son and wants to support his son, that feels like you are putting yourself in danger. And it what were you going to say, Pete?
He had a really touching line where he was like, I can't lose you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would crush me too much. I care too much about you to lose you. But he's just wrong about like, oh, this is a choice. You know what I mean? Jorge's fighting for people's rights to be who they are and stuff. So it's like you say, it's kind of like, it's a little bit harder because it's your son who is kind of, standing up and being,
That's what I'm saying is that I think this is who Jorge is. Jorge is also ginger. Jorge is a drag queen. Jorge is all of these things, and he's not going to give them up. But at the same time, I appreciate how they are scripting the dad's reaction to feel like a true, honest reaction versus the typical TV reaction of, you're dead to me. Get out of this house. I don't like drag
queens.
He's
not a villain. He's a person. It's not like Dirty Dancing style where it's just like, oh, well, this guy's a monster.
What are you doing coming for Dirty Dancing? The perfect movie.
I'm not coming
movie.
For Dirty Dancing. Well, okay.
Wait, the perfect movie?
Suspect. There are very few perfect movies. Dirty Dancing is one of them. They do the jump. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Alex's perfect movie is Dirty Dancing. Pete, obviously, Tommy Boy, your perfect movie. yeah, look how happy that makes you just to hear the name.
Yeah, what's your perfect movie, Justin?
Joe versus the volcano.
He said that since day one. Yeah, he has a big, giant, creepy poster in his basement.
I do, of that movie and many others. We end the episode for the Jorge Ginger storyline with a rally at the site of the attack. And Ginger speaks. Buzz is there, and he says he came out at work, which was something when last time we saw Buzz was like, oh, that would never happen. So I thought that was a nice setup and payoff for this season so far and this episode with Buzz.
Yeah. You want to move over and talk about Katie?
Yeah, let's get into Katie, the titular character of the show.
Yeah.
I just realized that.
I did like how
in the beginning when, Jorge's dad was getting a little too out of line, Katie kind of like stood up for Jorge and was like, hey, you know, it's been a long day. People, our emotions are high. We're all here for Jorge. Because that could have escalated and got real ugly. She stepped in a perfect moment there.
I agree. I like that a lot, especially because it made her feel like part of that family. Like it was a very sisterly thing to do, to be able to interrupt the father. Yeah. Be like, hey, let's cool it a little bit.
An outsider doing that be like, who are you? Shut up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It definitely cemented the familial relationship there in a nice, smart way. Mm-hmm. Katie and K.O. have lunch, and there she's like, what are you eating, a salad? You've changed.
Yeah.
I used to have hot dogs.
I should mention, I was pretty proud of her for eating a hot dog correctly this time, way back, and I believe it was the second episode, they were eating upside down hot dogs that, very confusing. Yeah. So it shows the character growth that Katie's gone through. She used to eat upside down hot dogs. Now she's eating them right side up.
It looked like it was just mustard, too, on it, which, not the ideal way to do it, but,
I mean, that's pretty good. I would put a little sauerkraut on it, but whatever.
Yeah, that's also wrong. And Pete wants to say ketchup, obviously, because he's a psychopath, when the real topping is relish, mustard and relish. Oh.
No, thanks.
It's so
cram
gross.
Of pickles. Relish is the best. You guys ever have tartar sauce?
Yeah,
relish
sure.
and mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's not
it's
a
relish
fish
and
dog.
Mayonnaise. Okay. no one's
Aaron
saying
over
that.
Here in the comments is saying mustard and kraut only. Anything else is garbage. 1 point to Alex. There we go.
Nope.
Wow.
There we go.
Nope. Alex, you can't give yourself points. You lose 2 points for giving yourself points.
On hot dogs. There's not just
one
thing to put
on hot dogs. I can give myself as many points as I want.
There's a lot of different
They don't have to count.
Wow.
They don't have to count.
Mr. Freedom over here. You can put anything you want on your hot dog in my country, in my world. And coming from a man who likes something called a garbage plate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Pete learned from Miss Cheesia. From Miss Cheesia.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow.
I think Pete's time in Philadelphia is making him really value liberty, especially when it comes to his tubed meats. And liberty for his meats. This scene is intense. Like, K.O.'s like, I'm with Xandra. He's very open about it. And he says, and it's serious.
Yeah.
And that instantly sends Katie into a tailspin. Friendship is difficult, especially in this situation.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, and then as often happens with every episode with Katie Keene, she has a personal crisis, and then she's like, well, I'll just go get my great apprenticeship. And there's like 500 people there competing for the same spot. She talks to Guy. He's like, I know all about your personal life, and you need to get your shit together. And very intense for a potential future boss to
aggressively. Yeah, talking about her
it is a weird move, though. I feel like his character has done so many different things at this point, which are all fine. I think the actor is great. Luke. Yeah, he's Satan. Exactly. Like it was very funny that he has been like, I'm very into Katie Keene and I'll do absolutely anything she says up until this episode where he's like, should have read the fine print on that contract you signed.
By the way, I have a very difficult test for you to do for this
right,
episode.
Exactly.
Which he's like, hey, I want you to get a dress that I gave to Xandra back because I know that your ex is dating her now and this is going to be a nightmare for you. I was like, this is wild.
What is this? Are you doing like this for all 500 people?
This episode proved that he is perhaps the devil because how else would he know to give them this crazy task?
He's doing that for all the girls who are trying out. He's like, real quick, who is your ex dating now? Get a dress from her.
Get a dress.
Yeah,
he's picked all those women because he's got all these dresses that he needs back. That's why.
Yep,
exactly. What a long
classic
con.
Guy, La Montagna.
And then Katie Keene happens to walk in exactly when KO is in his undies, you know, posing it up.
Xandra has set him up to be a model because he is. Mm-hmm. Very good looking. He seems to be giving up on his boxing, which is fine because we've never seen him do that before. We see a lot of him in his underwear, though, because that's his new skill. KO's she's very flustered. When she sees them together, she panics and invites them to this party where no one likes him and it's a bad idea. As we've seen some of it play out, and then she happens to show up in the dress with KO. It's a double whammy.
And a couple of things that I want to mention here that I thought were fun. One thing, there's a point in the middle of the party when KO is going over to the dessert plate and he picks up a tidy cheesecake. This is what I thought you were talking about when you said the cupcake and I was confused. But he picks up this tidy cheesecake on a plate. And apparently Zade Holtz, who plays KO Kelly,
looked like a macaroon.
It was a little cheesecake. Couldn't figure out on set how to get the cheesecake off, and that's why he very weirdly lifts it up on the plate and looks at it like that. That's it. Just a weird, fun filming fact.
That's fun. Acting choice.
What was the other thing? So Raj and KO are roommates, and this is where we get official confirmation that KO and Xandra are definitely together, or at least seemingly together, because he talks about how loud they are through the walls. So let me just throw it out to you. Do you think they are actually together, or are they pulling a scam where they're trying to make everybody think they're dating to make Alex and Katie jealous?
No. You think they're making sex noises through the walls as a fake?
Yes, maybe. I don't know.
I'll tell you what,
Alex.
It's a
very rom-com thing to do.
If that becomes a scene where we see them in a room together faking sex noises, I will replenish your nearby sock drawer with a brand new set of socks.
Wow.
Wow.
That'd
be great. It's getting empty.
Take the bet.
God. You're on.
Nice.
I'm taking the bet.
Yeah.
Wait, what am I doing on my side? Do I have to give you all my socks if I lose?
Yep, I want all your socks. You're gonna be a little barefoot prince all summer long.
Oh, that's so gross.
Delightful.
Hey, you don't have to leave your apartment. You can give away your socks. I do think that the fact that Katie doesn't freak out when Xandra tells her that we're dating and she doesn't get the reaction. That to me was kind of like, I didn't feel like their relationship was real. I think she was just in it to torture Katie, to get back at her brother who she wants to date. Oh, I can't believe I said that sentence out loud.
They're not actually.
I'll believe it when I see it.
We see them have sex?
No, the fact that she is really cares about KO and, is in a serious
relationship. I thought you meant, I need birth certificates and a blood test to prove that they're not brother and sister.
Wait, yeah. Who's the psychopath?
And if not, I need to see
psychopath.
Them have sex or it's not real.
Yeah. That's
on
what you
screen.
Said, Alex.
Yes, yeah. I said that.
You think they're faking sex noises through the walls.
Yeah, yep. I need to see it. I need to see it or they're going to steal all my socks. I think that's what we talked about, right?
Yep, that's a bet we made. And I guess we'll see if the Katie Keene Writers Room backs you up.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. So Katie is bringing it to KO. All this is wound her up, and she doesn't get really – she doesn't get mad at Xandra directly. She, in a scene later, she does, but she's taking all this energy and just trying to sort of give it to KO. And then it comes to a head, though, where they have a Xandra and Katie have this weird confrontation in front of KO, where Katie admits her feelings and her situation, which leads directly.
Hot.
She says he's hot.
Yeah,
and no one in the bar denies that.
Yeah,
yeah. But I like the honesty here. And Pete and I were talking about this a little bit earlier in the podcast. But
I know I was there.
Oh, sure. Xandra.
I'm on this podcast the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm right
Xandra.
Here.
Xandra seems very honest. She is growing as a character, and I like that. I appreciate seeing everybody come clean to each other, and that ultimately that leads to KO getting the dress dry cleaned and bringing it back to her. I think that's great. All of these moves are great, and they point to good things going forward, as does the very fun, what would you call it? Not a billboard, just the ad on the bus.
Oh, on the bus.
Well, one last thing. So we find out that Katie gets the apprenticeship from Guy, and Guy's super weird about it. He's like, yes, and I want to keep this
professional.
Yeah. So mm-hmm.
not going to be professional.
It's not going to be.
Yeah. Justin, I just want to ask you while you're back on the podcast. Did you think it was weird when Xandra ran off into the bathroom and then Katie Keene was already there waiting for her to talk? Did you think that was weird?
Pete, you brought this up earlier.
Yeah,
you brought this up earlier and I said
and
no,
I didn't
it wasn't
weigh
weird.
In. I didn't weigh in because I thought it was stupid.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, no, your opinion matters.
Here's the thing.
To me.
Here's the thing. People go to the bathroom at different times. Like, and not everyone goes to the bathroom at the same time.
Yeah, but when you're storming off to go to the bathroom and somebody's already there that you were left the room that you were in, that's a little creepy weird.
Great way to win an argument, though, is to have someone storm off to you and then you're in the bathroom when they walk in. That's like, hey, didn't see me coming, did you?
She ran around the building to the window in the bathroom, hopped through the window of the bathroom, and she was already there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Another perfect scam. Yep. And then to your point, Alex, Katie's at the end. We're getting a little sort of Sex and the City style narration, and there's KO on the side of a bus.
Classic.
In his caboture. And he's looking good, and Katie's feeling it.
Yeah, she is feeling it. But you guys think the wine glass was a complete accident? Nothing foul about that?
No. I'm sure Xandra did something there. Like, I think she's scheming about stuff, but I do think there is an honesty breaking through with her at the same time.
Okay. It may have been that she wanted to bail out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because it felt like she poured it on herself and then she was genuinely trying to clean it. It felt like, so I don't know. Yeah.
Do you know what would have been funny is if she spilled the wine and then Kaya was like, I know how to get this out, and started spitting on her dress a little bit. And they'd be like, no, it's blood. Kaya, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah, it's blood. It's the one fact that we've really taken away from this television.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
Blood cleans blood.
Spit clean. Your own spit cleans your own blood.
No, blood cleans blood.
Blood cleans blood.
Take clean some blood, blood, throw it out some blood. Blood.
Yeah. Nah. Great times. All right, guys. I think that's pretty much it for Katie Keene Cast. We always do a New York story before we go, but we have covered lunch, so I feel like that's like the main New York thing that everybody thinks about is lunch.
Definitely.
We could do disaster parties.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, disastrous New York parties.
Something bad happened?
Yeah, something bad happened.
That's a good one.
I'm surprised. I've always been scared to kind of like eat outside in New York City because, you know, like just takes one homeless person walking by and dip your balls, their balls in your sandwich, and it's just kind of ruined. So what? I just want to say it's brave of you to eat outside in New York is all I'm saying.
What are you talking about? Are you leaving
your sandwich unattended?
No, but, you know, I've seen people eating outside and then, you know, like a homeless dude walks by and is like being a lot and kind of in
and
their
dips
face
his balls in the sandwich.
Well, yeah. The key to a good ball dipping is you distract them up here, yell at mm-hmm. them when they're not looking, and then you get your balls out, dip them in
the soup.
No.
What you
got
to do,
away.
First of all, to be clear, I was eating at a restaurant, not in a park. Second of all, when you go to the restaurant, you say, I'd like to eat outside, but not one of your waist high tables, please, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you're fine. Mm-hmm. It's really not a problem after that.
Okay. I mean, eating outside is such a treat in New York, and I just want to say, Pete, that is not a normal experience that you're talking about.
I don't know. I've seen, like, you know, you try to get a high table, and then there's homeless guy on stilts. Like, they'll go above and beyond to get that ball dip.
That's why you eat all of your meals on the subway, right?
Yeah, the same as
where you have really control. I think the problem, Pete, I do think the problem is that all of your teeth are in the sandwich already, so they think it's a mouth, and that's why they want to dip their balls in the sandwich.
Yeah, that's gross. That's a good point. Wait, why? Yeah. They want to do that?
Yes, that was the part that was gross and took it too far. Yeah. Thanks, yes. Pete.
And that's another real New York moment from the folks here at Kinky Kingcast.
Oh, my goodness. If you want to support this podcast for some reason, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we're currently doing a live show to the internet every Tuesday at 7 Woo-hoo. p.m. on Crowdcast and YouTube. Come on and hang out and ask questions and stuff. Socially, you can check us out at Riverdale After on Twitter, Riverdale Dark on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. To subscribe and listen to the show on iTunes in particular, please leave us a comment. Those help us out quite a bit, and we appreciate it. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and more. And, you know, if you've got a dream, all you got to do is flip down those pants and dip them in a sandwich. Bye-bye, everybody.